about that? We open up the 10 o'clock hour with a long putt from 80 feet out. That's number two for the day.
That's exactly right.
This is the CDGA Golf Show. We're live at the Chicago Golf Show in Rosemont at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center. Come on through. You can't miss us. We're right there, right as you walk in. Make your way out here. We're on till 11 o'clock this morning, and right now we get a chance to catch up with Nick Anderson, a member of the Flying Illini, longtime NBA vet, and now he's getting in on the golf game as well. Nick, welcome to the show. Appreciate you joining us.
Happy, gentlemen. You know, this cold weather, hey, I can't handle it. My blood has thinned out. You know, coming from Florida, before I flew in, it was 80 degrees. And I get here, oh, my goodness.
And it's blowing snow sideways when you land.
So when was the last time you played golf? Did you play this week?
No, I didn't play this week, but I had the opportunity to play. I play in a lot of charity events in Orlando. And we had had the opportunity to play at, you ever heard of Lake Nona?
Oh, have I heard of Lake Nona?
Yeah, yeah. You know, Lake Nona, I got a chance to play in Lake Nona for a good cause, and all the Gators.
All the Gators, yeah.
You know, everywhere, the water, the beautiful scenery. That just was a few weeks ago. So it was scramble golf.
Yeah.
You know, some best balls. You know, I had a few.
You had a few.
I had a few that go left that you don't want to go recover, a few to go right.
Well, down there, you don't want to go too close to those.
Right.
To those
not, left, at, yeah. Not at all.
That's the nice thing about playing golf here in Chicago. But, you know, we don't have the alligators. But we do have to put up with this weather.
Yeah.
But you came in on Thursday, and we met back in the fall. Right. And Nick Anderson's returning back to Chicago to do some amazing things with your foundation. Tell us about Flight 25 Foundation and how you want to wrap golf and the CDGA together here in Chicago to make a difference.
Well, Flight 25 Foundation, you know, obvious 25 was my number. And that goes back to the days of my former teammate, Benjamin Wilson, who wore number 25 at Simeon High School. And we lost Ben in a tragic shooting incident my junior year, his senior year. So I always want to carry that legacy on, and that's where the 25 come in. As far as my foundation, I'm a young guy. I grew up on the south side and the west side of Chicago. I want to give back to my community where I come from and more. These young men and women mean a lot to me. I want to see them go on and have great opportunities, live a prosperous life, and be able to give back to those who are less fortunate. So that's what my foundation is based on. Education. I can sit here and tell you a story that personally affected me for education, and it opened up my eyes. So I tell the young men and women today that education is key. I understand you play sports and all that, but having a good education, no one can never take that away from you. Whatever sport you may be in, that can disappear in a matter of seconds. Injury, take it away from you, but when you have that education in your head, and no one can ever take that away from you. So, again, when you go to college and get a scholarship, whatever sport it may be, it does not say athlete, student. It says student, athlete. I want you to be a great student, and the athletic part to take care of itself.
Nick Anderson joining us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So you brought up your former teammate, Ben Wilson, and there's the documentary on him, the 30 for 30.
Yes.
I believe you're a part of that as well.
Yes.
In that documentary. A lot of people maybe don't know truly how good he was. Like, a lot of people were saying he was going to be one of the best ever to play basketball at the professional. And it was only a matter of when, not if, he got to the professional.
Exactly.
Ranks.
You know, you sometimes rankings, you know, you can take it with a grain of salt or a ranking. But Benjamin Wilson being ranked number one in the country in 1985, you knew that was the best player in the country right there. A guy 6'8.5", 6'9", that played the point guard. And you had the NBA players at that time, he had them in awe. You know, one player that he was always compared to was, for his passing, driven Magic Johnson. Just a special treat. It's a shame that we didn't get a chance to see Benji fulfill that college dream, that NBA dream, because he was surely going to be one of the greatest. And one player today that really reminds me of Benji is Kevin Durant.
Interesting. Oh, wow.
He really reminds me of Benji, a guy that can score at his size in multiple ways. And he was that kind of guy that when he had the ball in his hand, you were at his mercy.
Yeah.
He was that type of player, in my opinion.
So, Nick, being a former world-class athlete, a professional, you're now discovering the game of golf. What is it about your previous athletic experience that you can bring to golf, and what makes you keep coming back wanting for more? Because, as you know, golf is a little more frustrating than basketball
for
you.
Yes, it is.
I'm sure it is. It is for all of us. But for somebody that's so good at one thing and then to take up this game but still love it.
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned, being an athlete, professional basketball, and moving to another sport such as golf, golf can humble you really quick, really quick. And I'll tell you a quick story. You know, playing for the Magic back in the day, and Penny Hardaway used to get at me 24/7, come play golf with me after practice. Oh, no, I don't want to play golf. I don't want to play golf. And he used to play golf 24/7. So, make a long story short, looking at him now, he's a scratch golfer. He plays in the celebrity tournament out at Lake Tahoe.
Does he?
Yeah. And I sit back and say to myself, I should have been playing way back then.
With all that time in Orlando.
Yes, and all the best golf courses in the world right there at my hand and feet. But golf is something that I love playing. It's relaxing to me.
Is it? Okay.
You know, I get out and I know that every ball that I hit is not going to be the best ball. You know, again, I said this game will humble you real quick. But I love it so much, it keeps me coming back. And I play with some of the best friends who play golf who are really, really good. And then one of my guys are standing right in front of him, Jay Fulbright. He's a heck of a golfer, and he's a teacher to me, you know, and to show me different things that I've learned and make me a better golfer. But I just love playing. I like being out there. It's relaxing, and it makes it more special when you're playing with guys that you love to be around. It makes that game a whole lot more fun.
Well said. Yep.
Well said.
So, Nick, you've been you talked about the times you played, or Penny tried to get you to play. We always hear the legendary Michael Jordan golfing stories. Do you have any of those great golf? Have you played with MJ before?
Well, I've never played with him, but I tell you how competitive this guy is, golf-wise and basketball. You know, when I played the Bulls, he would go play 18 holes of golf before the game and come out and do Michael Jordan things. So that does tell you his competitive drive, how much he was into what he was doing. You could look at him and say, oh, this guy's competitive basketball. He's a competitor just like that when it comes to golf.
Wow, that is something else. Yeah. So who eventually then got you, you know, if Penny was pushing you to play but you weren't doing it, who eventually got you accustomed or comfortable to play the game? And then what is your favorite golf course?
Well, after Penny pushing me and getting to play with some good friends that were, again, that were very good golfers, it kept me going. I was like,
okay.
Well, I want to get better at this. And then I would take time out to, on days off, I would go to the range and just hit balls and try to get better that way. It just wore on me.
Yeah.
I just love being out there. You know, it could be 100 degrees in Orlando, and we'd be on the golf course, you know, playing, because it drove me. You said my favorite course to play on. Whew. There's so many. I mentioned Lake Nona.
Okay.
It's a beautiful course.
David Ledbetter's place.
Yes. But I love playing out at Disney at the Disney Palms.
Do you really?
Yes. I love that course. It's a fun course. You know, you get to see a lot of wildlife.
Yep. That's why you want to keep it in the middle of the fairway.
There you go. If it goes to the left or to the right, he can have that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I play on so many good golf courses, and I have to mention Owlsworth.
Oh, my goodness.
Playing in Owlsworth is, you know, they say I've seen greener pastures. It is beautiful. It is kept up, and it's just a beautiful place to play golf. And, you know, you got Aliquot Lakes. Okay. You know, you got all these other courses. Just beautiful. And let's not forget, I go there every year for the tournament. It's the Bay Hill Classic.
Oh, Arnold's place, yeah.
The Bay Hill Classic, just to get out and see the people that come from all over the world just to come see the top golfers and be a part of that. So that's special. Being in Florida is special, especially when it comes to golf.
Nick Anderson with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So if you had to craft a dream foursome to play with, only NBA players, who are you picking?
Steph Curry.
He's good.
Yeah,
he's good. Yeah. Have you played with Steph before?
No, I haven't. Played with Ray Allen.
Okay.
You have to throw MJ in now.
I was going to say.
He's like the free space on the bingo card, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's take it to, you know, if I non-NBA players, mm-hmm. I would say Tony Romo.
Really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or okay. Either Jeremy Roenick.
He is a great man.
Yeah. So that would be a dream team golf right there.
Wow.
Former athletes.
Yeah.
To be on the same course with those guys. And I would not leave Penny Hardaway out of there.
So I guess in a nutshell, with the CDGA and Flight 25 coming together to partner with some things here in Chicago, and I know you're going to be doing some work with golf down in Orlando as well with your foundation down there, but how does Nick Anderson want to make the world better through golf?
Well, I have to tell the young men and young ladies today that, you know, a lot of them think that basketball, football, baseball is the only way to go, but I'm here to tell you it's not. Golfing is special. You should take time into being a part of it. And a gentleman that I had the pleasure of for many, many years in Orlando that has a youth program, and he's produced a lot of young golfers to go to college, Dr. Dorsey in Orlando. So golfing is special. Golfing is relaxing. Golfing is competitive. Golfing is fun. So I urge young men and women out there today that take it up. It's a great sport. You get to meet some of the best in the world, make good relationships, and it's just a great part to be a part of. So I encourage them to jump on board and take part in.
Nick Anderson with us for a few more minutes here. So you're a member of the Flying Illini, Illinois legend. I'm not going to ask you about Penn State from earlier in the week, but there is one Illini that is currently making some noise on the PGA Tour, a local guy, Nick Hardy. Do you know Nick at all, and have you kept tabs on him?
Well, I've never met him personally, but I keep tabs on our watch. And, you know, anytime I can run across an alumni that's doing well, you know, I have to support him. You know, he's making waves. You know, it's just a matter of time that, you know, when you cross the waters and you really call the one of the big timers, and when people speak of golf, you're in that conversation. He's going to get better at what he does, and I'm looking forward to him. His name's being in the lights all the time, not sometime.
Yeah. Well, and to that point, the University of Illinois, I mean, obviously known for basketball, but lately Mike Small has put a program together that's as good as any in the country. They keep pumping out PGA Tour pros. I mean, hopefully, you know, you can even maybe have hope for the senior tour.
that might be around the corner, but I want to thank those guys. I have the prettiest tour bag, University of Illinois, orange and blue, you know. I have to thank
them. Do you have your name on it?
Yes. It is special. It is special. So, you know, U of I, we do great things across the board. So, you know, all the recruits across the country, we got good golf, we got good basketball, we got good football, the campus is great, so don't exclude us.
Nick, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. Appreciate it, and
thank
love
you,
everything
Nick.
That you're doing with your foundation.
Thanks for having me.
It's Nick Anderson, member of the Flying Illini, and also an avid golfer now in his second athletic life here. All right, when we come back, we'll get into some more stuff that maybe you missed over the course of the golf season since we've hit the off season, and also we've got Robbie Gold joining the show at 9:35. This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, and this segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, the home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin, as we are live in Rosemont at the Chicago Golf Show, and a familiar face has joined us here.
Love it.
Robbie Gold, the new ambassador for the CDGA. Also, congratulations on being the next head coach of Rolling Meadows High School as well.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here with the CDGA. Obviously, this is the kickoff to the golf season. The weather's been pretty nice the last week, so let's get rid of this snow so we can get out and start playing, right?
It looked like we were trending that way, finally.
Yeah.
But
yeah. How you guys been?
Oh, it's been great getting back in the swing of things for the golf season. But you've got a lot of things going on right now. It's been like a crazy 6 months for you, I feel like. A lot of new titles. You retired from the NFL. You have the new head coaching gig. You're with the CDGA now. What's the last 6 months been like for you?
It's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's really been a year in the making, frankly. You know, definitely got to the end of the diving board and had to take some leaps. You know, finding a lot out about myself and things that, you know, I'm passionate about, you know, for almost 22 years of my life, I've been on a schedule that's been dictated by football. And to be able to spend time with my kids, to be able to get into high school football, coaching at the volunteer level, and then help other kids out kind of on their journey has been unique. And then dating my wife again, which has been fun. You know, I don't know if she loves me being home as much as I am, but at the end of the day, it's been an awesome journey. I'm really thankful for the people that I've been able to reconnect with, and I'm ready to play some golf, that's for sure. Well, you know, can't wait. It's coming.
Well, no doubt. And I'll tell you, Robbie, when we first met, there is no doubt that you are all about giving back. And it didn't surprise me in the least to hear about you returning back to football in some capacity, giving proof to the credence that you can take the boy out of the country, but you just can't take the country out of the boy. But with golf, I mean, you're now becoming more iconic and more known in the Chicago area for just how good a golfer you are. What is your current index?
I'm a 3.8, I believe.
And are you willing to admit to your home club?
I'm a terrible 3.8, and my home club is Medina Country Club.
Oh, wow. We're returning back to Medina.
So we went back to Medina recently. You know, a lot of the my kids were young. It's kind of hard to get 25 minutes away, you know, go spend the day. And now it's fun because my kids are old enough now. I take them with me on the cart and we go have fun. So I'm excited to be back in Medina. That place is so special. They got the President's Cup coming up, I believe, in 2026. They did an entire redo on number 3. Which it was awesome before, but seeing the way that they're going to put that together with the short course and the the St. Andrews putting green that they built out there. It's going to be a special place for sure.
So have you had a chance to go preview what's been done out there by Mr. Ogilvy?
So you can see it. What Medina's done a great job of is they do a great job of being able to communicate with the members on sending videos of, like, the before, the afters, and here's what it looks like and things they might have done and why. And it's been awesome to see that interaction. I've only been back there, obviously, for a few months, but there's this city is just such a mecca for golf.
Oh yeah,
you know, the only thing that I think might challenge it would be New York City in that stretch, maybe of Long Island and New Jersey,
Westchester County.
Yeah, you know, but to me, there's no better city for public or private golf like Chicago.
Robbie Gold, the Bears' all-time leading scorer, with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So, all right, you've played in San Francisco, you've played in Chicago, you've played in New York. Which is the best? Like, which are some of your favorite courses in each of those areas?
It's funny. When I got to New York, I walked into the equipment managers. I was like, hey, I just got there. I played in London. That was my first game. I left Thursday, landed Friday. Played Sunday, flew back, and they had the bye week. So I didn't want to go home because I'd already had like 5 weeks of bye weeks. So being unemployed. But, it was interesting because I was like, hey, you guys want to go play golf? And I was like, we'll go wherever. It's on me. Like, I just wanted to meet everybody, get to know them, kind of get into the group. And the Mara family was open arms. They're like, hey, go up to Westchester Country Club. You want to play Wingfoot? You want to? So... You know, it was fun. I had a short window because I signed there in October. But to me, it was such a fun place because you could just see Baltusrol. You could see Nationals, Sabonic, all these places. Liberty National I just played at last year, 2 years ago, in a Ryder Cup series. So there's so many good golf courses there that you could find one on almost any street corner, which is hard to find in real estate in New York. California, it was great because you could play San Fran Golf Club, you could play TPC, Olympic Club. They're all there on the hill in San Francisco. Then you could go to Pebble, you could go to Pasatiempo. There were so many places you could get to within an hour there.
Sure.
And it was really solid golf. So... it's fun. Like, everyone looks at golf as like, oh, man, I suck. I can't play it. I don't want to play it. You know, we've talked about this before, Mike, about the handicap system, mm-hmm. like being able to track how you can really track how good of a player you've become and what you need to work on or maybe areas of strength and weakness. But you can truly do it anywhere at any age. Like, my kids now have family tees.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's such a fun sport. For everybody to be able to play. I mean, there's people 80 years old playing from the senior tees.
That's right.
And, it's just a game for everyone. And to me, I think that's what's pretty unique.
Well, and it pushes at you to play to that index when you're playing with people that might have be six times higher than you. But you mentioned something earlier about the Chicago golf market. And, yeah, we have some real iconics in the Medinas, the Olympia Fields, but we have some gems here.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them is Glen Oak Country Club.
Yep.
I was a member there for a while, but you had something special happen at a certain practice round. I want you to tell that story, but I want to make sure you tell what you did instead of buying drinks because you couldn't because everything was all-inclusive.
Yeah, so it was interesting. I've never had a hole-in-one, first of all. I just got invited to be a guest at the Pinky Invitational, which is a big to-do event. At their club, Mulhern's one of the best pros.
Best in the industry.
Yeah, the best. The course is amazing. So I was playing with a Callaway rep, a local sports, broadcasting personality, and one of the members who was the host committee for the event. And... So I'm on hole, I think it was 11, short par 3, and I hit it, and I'm posing. It was like 120 yards. I'm like, oh, my God, that's going to go in. That's going to go in. Then I see it go behind the hole. I'm like, man, you're such an idiot. You're sitting there posing. It's like going to be off the back of the green. So I kind of like turn around, and next thing you know, the guy's like, that went in. I'm like, no way. No way. There's no way. Like, you hit a game-winning field goal. There's just like a euphoric. Sick. You get it. You just celebrate. I hit a hole-in-one. I had no idea what to do.
Is that right?
No clue. I mean, And luckily, one of the guys in the group was able to have his – he got his phone out and started taping. I was in shock.
Is that right?
So when I got done with the round, I bought all the caddies, the guys in my group in Mulhern. I went to the local PGA Superstore and bought them all Michael Jordan golf shoes.
Now, isn't that a touch of class?
So I always said if I got a hole-in-one, Daddy needs some new shoelaces was always when you go to the par three. So for me, it was kind of fun to be able to show up and all those guys be a part of it.
So what was the yardage club ball you were using?
I had a Callaway ball, chrome soft. I had a 115-yard shot, and I used a 54-degree.
Wow.
And I hit it behind the wall. I was like, oh, that's so good. Oh, it's so pure. Oh, yeah. You're so good, Robbie. You're so good. Oh, you're such an idiot. Oh, you're a hero. That's that's that whole interaction, how that went.
But that hole in particular, it's right over Ray Gerber's little pond. But that has a back that it will look like it goes in, but it could fall right off.
Yeah.
But what a story. I mean, and, you know, when you can't buy drinks for everyone because all the cocktails were all inclusive. So what's he do? Next best thing. And I'll tell you what, talking to some of those guys, that is something they will remember for the rest of their lives. And that's what the beauty of golf
does.
That's
what it's about.
That's what it's about.
Listen, it's a great networking tool. It's a great getaway escape for 4 hours from whatever you're going through in life. It's a sport that if you travel, you can go play and have some fun and not necessarily sit by a swimming pool all the time and be active. And there's so many memories and friendships and chirping and bets. Things that are just unique to that sport that that's why you want to go play.
You good to stick around for another segment?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. We'll return with Robbie Gold in just a second here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
There's my son right there.
We're back at the CDGA Golf Show. Live at the Chicago Golf Show at Rosemont. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. Bears all-time leading scorer, Robbie Gold, with us on the CDGA Golf Show. Been chatting a lot of golf, some football. So you're the new head coach at Rolling Meadows. Congratulations on that. That was big news that came down yesterday. One of your old teammates is also Jason McKee. He's certainly made his name known throughout the Chicago football scene as well. Are you guys scheduling anything against each other?
Well, I haven't even got into any of that yet. You know, the big part for me is, you know, just I have some things left to do to make this a seamless process, but. You know, the big thing for me right now is, I got a busy Saturday. I got the CDGA golf show, and then I got to go tonight to the Cal's Angels gala to raise money for a pediatric nonprofit. So, and then you guys will see some things pop up early in the week to kind of get this thing rolling. And but, you know, I will say this. In the process of the interview, I used Jason pretty heavily on what it looks like and what it's supposed to be, because I really value what he's done there. I think from that perspective, you have to appreciate he's got Rasheed and Olin and all these guys. Hoagie's up there too, you know, coaching special teams. So it's nice to have resources to be able to pull from for their experience, not make the same mistakes twice. I'm excited, but I'm more excited. Listen, I've been here for probably 25 minutes, and they have rang that bell, the Blackhawks goal bell, at least three times.
Oh, yeah. Already. Yesterday went off 27, and I bet it goes over 40 today.
Now tell me what – I know we're doing a putting thing later out here.
Yes.
But if they make the putt, just for people listening at home,
right?
They make the putt, what do they get?
They get a Tour Edge $200 putter. They get fitted for it over in their booth. They get a couple of Jersey Mike's sandwich. They get a backpack bundle with balls and gloves from Zero Friction. They get a Cutter and Bach shirt, a Imperial cap, like the exact one you have on, and a few other small smattering prizes. But everybody goes into a booth. Oh, and they also qualify for the regionals at Long Putt. But then they all go into a bowl. We pick out, and somebody's walking out with a stay and play at Tullymore. Somebody's walking with a remote control golf cart that's like $2,400. So we have a whole cadre of prizes for those that make it. But anyone that makes it, walking home with a few hundred bucks of prizes.
And as long as you have a ticket,
Yep.
All you have to do is show up.
That's all you got
to
do.
Come to the CDGA booth in their area, and you can
pay $5, and you're contributing to the foundation that goes towards helping veterans, individuals with disability, and grow the game among the youth. So later today, what you're going to be doing is on your first attempt, you're going to be putting for $5,000, and it's a split the pot where $2,500 comes to the CDGA Foundation, and then the other $2,500 goes to your pocket or wherever you decide where
we're
going
to give. If I do get lucky enough, it's going back to the CDGA Foundation.
Yes. So you're going to have
everybody. I'm playing hard today, buddy. Yeah. I'm playing hard today.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So you guys have a shop set up. That's really cool. We got some really cool gear.
We do. We've got a lot of cool gear because last year we listened to a lot of the stuff that people were asking for.
There's another.
There's
guys,
another one.
What is that number six?
It is electric.
I know.
It's four in the last 30 minutes.
Yeah. I know. And it's so funny, the moment once people realize, oh,
they see the putt,
then they study it and study it. But when you made this decision, getting back to the football, I'm sure maybe it was in your world, but how much decision making, because that's a commitment. Like, I think your golf is going to have to take a back seat there for a part of the year now, right?
Yeah, I mean, it will and it won't. You know, listen, there's always a part that you want to have some normalcy to life too.
Sure.
But there's a commitment you made that, you know, I told the kids and the staff yesterday, you know, I want them to be a man of their word.
Yeah.
You know, if you say you're going to do something, you got to do it. So, for me, I think it's, a unique experience. And I can't wait. Like I said to you guys earlier, like, the spring's almost here. Like,
I know.
The courses are starting to get some water to them. You know, they're starting to get a little greener. And they're still going to be a little fuzzy for my putting, and I'll still three-putt a bunch, which is fine. But at least I might bring out my driver and putt this year. I don't know, boys.
A little hybrid?
Yeah.
A little Texas wedge for you?
Yeah.
I do want to get your thoughts because your old team, the San Francisco 49ers, were in the Super Bowl. There was a blocked extra point. I got to ask, what was going through your mind when you saw that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, like, that game has so many moments that could go either way, right? I mean, each team had their own issues. Then you get to the point where they got a chance to get into overtime. You know, I'm sure the San Francisco 49ers are not, you know, if they score in the red zone, the game's over, right? Early in that game. So, you know, then they had overtime trying to figure out who takes the ball, who doesn't take the ball. And, you know, that team was built to win it all, and they're built to finish it. And, you know, there's only one team that can be happy. And you saw Patrick Mahomes at his best when his best was needed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think you saw Chris Jones and somebody else talking about, you know, they need Patty Vick. you know, and he starts doing the hand chirping thing, and you know, and he played really well down the stretch in the second half because he didn't the San Francisco defensive ends did a great job of not rushing past him to let him get outside the pocket, which really helped control them offensively, I thought, for a little bit, because they didn't run the ball efficiently in the beginning, Kansas City, and then Patrick Mahomes doing what Patrick Mahomes does. Broke the 49ers' hearts again.
Yeah.
No, he really did. And, I mean, it was just a wild game. But at the same time, you know, when I watched exactly that extra point, it gave me a chance to have pause because I immediately thought of you. And, you know, then it dawned on me, I'm like, what is the best thing about retiring? Because you've been away, but what's been the hardest thing?
Just finding a schedule.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't miss football. I'm still kicking and doing those things. I didn't miss the game itself. I missed the people in the building. I missed, like, the interactions.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing for me is the playoffs got there, and I've missed it. I missed the whole thing because that's what you play for, you know. I didn't really miss the grind of the week one training camp to week 18.
Well, you're a gamer. I mean, let's face it. You were so accurate and so money. But
here's what I will say to the field goal kicking in the playoffs. Let's just talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Green Bay makes the kick against San Francisco, who he had a difficult rookie year.
Yeah.
But they thought they were real rebuilding. Then they get in the playoffs, and he had some stretches that were good and bad. They make that kick. It's over.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell kicks two of those, and if they miss both, they probably still win. But Then you go to the Buffalo game. Dave Tobe does a great job rushing off the edge to not allow him to kick the ball the whole way across the field. You know, it's just the league is going young and going cheap. And I said to some of the teams, you get what you pay for, right? Here you are trying to win a Super Bowl, and, you know, kids that don't have experience or haven't been around it. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, for me, it was a you had to look at it from a legacy play. Is it worth going back to kick for these teams in the last 5 weeks of the season and the playoffs potentially to leave your kids to be like, hey, this makes sense for a month. Like, yeah. Why am I leaving for a month?
Yeah.
You know, so the irony of that is I retired on 12-7, and I scored 1,207 points for the Bears.
Now, was that by design or just by happenstance?
I had no idea. We just decided.
Just someone on Twitter pointed that out.
Actually, I'll give Larry Mayer credit from the Chicago okay. Bears. He was the one who did it. But I was scrolling through. I was like, that is too weird for me.
Yeah.
12-7, 1,207.
That is. Wow.
So you're one of your old special teams teammates, Devin Hester, into the Hall of Fame. How cool is that to see?
Long overdue.
Long overdue.
You know, listen, it's hard. Like, if you look at the Hall of Fame, it's not like they're looking at the specialists and being
exactly.
like this person or that person.
And that's terrible. And,
yeah, I mean, you know, in the NFL, still, Hall of Fame is still not complete. There is no long snapper in the Hall of Fame.
And we should have
right?
one, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have three or four guys that could be there for sure, and one being Patrick Manley.
Exactly.
Who's an avid golfer as well. So, you know, if you really look at what his body of work was, nobody really flipped the football until Devin Hester got in the NFL. And then it was Darren Sproles, and it was Joshua Cribbs, and then everybody was flipping the ball 40 yards, saying that the Bears' offense isn't as good as our defense because Devin could change the game at any given time. So I was talking to people about Devin. I was like, listen, I can't go back and calculate the amount of yards strategically that he helped our offense get. He probably gave us, whether it was a touchdown or whether it was just a regular, he probably gave our team three or two on average first downs by just being back there as the punter if he didn't catch it.
Oh, I could imagine.
You know?
So I got a question for you. As you start to get back into coaching, I could just see the scenario. You're out helping the young man at Rolling Meadows be a better kicker, and you show him. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, what if a team called you next year?
Well,
I mean, would it be a flat-out no?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
You know, you have to make a decision on, like, what that looks like long-term. When I decided I was going to retire, it was over. You know,
okay.
If I was going to play, I would have – obviously not retired and just kept training and see what would have happened. But, you know, I had already made up my mind, and I knew this kind of going into the process.
There it goes.
I don't know if you guys – if any of those people hitting that putt right now, they should go to the casino.
Exactly.
They should all leave.
Down the road.
Yeah,
yes.
Just go right down the road. But, you know, it was a process that I had to go through talking to my wife, understanding what life after football looks like, and – you know, really for me, it's not like I didn't want to play. It just had to be the right fit, the right place, you know, the right situation. And that came up towards the end, but I just mentally didn't want to do it.
But to your point about look what happened to Green Bay and some of the other teams, would they go, you know what, maybe we call him and maybe we pony
well, Green
up.
Bay.
We had some very interesting calls throughout the season. Yeah, there were definitely some very hard moments of like, hey, you should think about doing this maybe. But I just knew in my heart of heart, I just knew that I was done.
Well, that's great.
And I knew that,
we're happy.
Yeah. And here's the thing for me. Like, I knew that it would take us – my wish list was too long.
Okay.
And the teams were too little that it had to lay the right way for that to happen. So, you know, it's been an awesome year. I'm really excited about life after football. I got a chance to coach my kids in flag football. We got three baseball teams coming up. We got three lacrosse teams playing this spring.
Wow.
So we'll be busy.
Oh, you'll be very
busy.
We'll
play some golf. We got some junior golf leagues that we're doing out at Medina. They do an awesome job. The clubs in the area and the courses in the area do.
And your kids growing up there, that is such a special place. I spent 2 years doing the PGA there, but the activities, the membership, you are.
But even the junior PGA leagues, right?
The
way that they help them do the practices and then they go play matches is a scramble. With the other kids and learning teamwork and learning, you know, the idea of shaking hands and socialization of hey, good shot, you know, nice job, and the things that you don't do to your buddy when he's playing because you're trying to take his money, you know. But it was fun to be able to be a part of that and see my kids go and compete at something that they were completely uncomfortable doing because they've never done it before.
Real quick, Robbie, before we let you go, you knew you were going to get this one. What should the Bears do at quarterback?
You know, it's funny. I got that a lot in Vegas two weeks ago. I don't even know. They're all blending together now. I think the Bears are in an awesome position, frankly. I think, you know, they can bring Justin Fields back and build around him. I love Marvin Harrison Jr. at the number one pick. I think that guy's such a game changer because I think he's a legacy player that it's hard for you not to take him. And I think you would make the offense better and pair him with DJ Moore. Think about a long-term solution. If you're not going to pay DJ for an extended period of time, that gives you a true number one receiver that could potentially groom under a really good receiver, DJ Moore. Like, that guy's been electric.
Oh, he's awesome.
So to me, I would love to see them, you know, keep Justin probably and work with what they have because I think they have something that's pretty special. But then I see the other side of it. It says, hey, we can go get a bunch of picks for this number one overall pick potentially. But you have to weigh the options of, do you want to go to this last year, or I should say of a hot seat year for Eberflus with a rookie quarterback? And where are you at as a team? Are you wanting to rebuild? And then you're back to rebuilding potentially.
For a while.
And something that always sticks in my head from Ryan Poles when he first got hired was, he said, we're going to find out what we have in year three. This is year three. In San Francisco in year three, they spent a couple years building and then got Jimmy at the end of year two. And next thing you know, we're in the Super Bowl year three. So I think they're in a really good position of strength. They can have two pathways, and I think both pathways are really good for them. It's just a matter of what they deem long-term of Justin because they're going to have to pay him a pretty good penny because it's a quarterback-driven league now. So what do I think they'll do? I think they have two really good avenues that they could go, and I think they can't go wrong at either.
Robbie, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
And we'll see you on the putting green in a
little
bit. I hope
they ring that bell. Let's go.
Yeah, let's ring the bell. Let's win $5,000 for the foundation.
That's right.
And we thank you on behalf of the CDGA. We are so thrilled to have you a part of our team and look forward to a lot of fun for the rest of the season.
It's been awesome.
You.
Excited to grow the game of golf in the Chicagoland area, and we've been doing some great things. So, everyone, come on out to the CDGA Golf Show, baby. Let's
thank you, buddy.
Fun.
Robbie Gold, Bears all-time leading scorer with us here at the CDGA Golf Show. We'll wrap up the show when we come back here. This is ESPN 1000. Segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. Thank you to Charlie Bevins and Justin Pottinger for producing today's show. Thank you to our entire marketing team as well on site with us here in Rosemont. Get on out to the Chicago Golf Show. It's been a fantastic event. We're here all day today and then also one more day tomorrow before we close up shop here. If you need any gear or anything, this is the
place
to be.
350-plus booths. We're open until 6 tonight, 9 to 4 tomorrow. And then we'll see you again next year, right? But around the CDGA, there's three things that I think people want to know about. Number one, we talked about it earlier, the new posting season, March 15th to November 14th. It's no longer April 1st, so with this warm weather we're getting, we're going to be posting early. Also, CDGA members, you now will log in no longer with your CDGA number. We'll be using a handicap ID. People will talk about GIN. GIN is the software, so the handicap ID is more universal. So whenever you are asked for that GIN number when you're playing out of state, it will be your handicap ID number, and that number now is going to be the number you will communicate back to your portal at the CDGA, no longer the CDGA number. So we are exactly like the rest of the world in that regard. And lastly, the winners of the State AM men's and women this year will get automatic berths to the United States women's amateur as well as to the men's amateur and don't have to go through qualifying. The Illinois men's and women's events have got enough world ranking points and are at the level that they all get the buys. And for us here in Illinois, that is fantastic news.
All right. We will be back next week, 9 to 11 a.m., talking all things in the world of golf with you. This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with top tracer technology. Peggy and Dion coming up next on ESPN 1000.